For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com.
Good morning to you. How are you? It's Sunday morning, November 27th, 2016. As I speak to you now, it's 11 a.m. just on the money. I should say the top of the hour. On the money, 11 o'clock it is, and it's another freezing cold morning in the great city of Manchester. I hope you've had a good weekend so far. Well, it's the beginning of the week, isn't it? So is the weekend only one day then? Saturday, is it? I suppose it is, technically. So I hope you've had a good weekend, even, and that you're in good form and in fine fettle. And thanks for joining me this Sunday for Sunday View, where I'm going to have a look at the UK broadsheet and tabloid newspapers shortly, even though there isn't very much in them that isn't about Fidel Castro or about historic child abuse in football. Tell you more about that shortly. Also going to talk today about the possible recount in the US election in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania and elsewhere. Talk about that as well. And going to talk about Ted Heath. Big story in the Sunday Mail today, alleging, the Mail alleges, it uses one source, that historic VIP sex abuse is nothing but fantasy. It's fantasy, according to the Sunday Mail. Going to talk at length about that in this programme as well. And as usual, if you've got something to say on any of those topics, you need only tweet at Richie Allen Show. That's at Richie Allen Show. Email richie@richieallen.co.uk. As usual, I'll be genuinely thrilled to hear from you and particularly interested in your opinion, as it sometimes, nay, often, differs from mine. That's no bad thing either. So you've got the Twitter and the email details. Do it now. Do it. Do it. Tweet me. Tweet the bejesus out of me. Let me know what you're thinking. I had a lot of fun last night, by the way. You might not be aware of it, but not late yesterday afternoon, more like early yesterday evening, being on my lonesome, being a bit of a loner, being a Billy No Mates. I don't really have many mates, it must be said. Bit of a loner, happy in my own company. Caroline is in France and she'll be back tomorrow, so not wanting to while the hours away on Saturday evening getting pissed as a fart, which is a good thing to do sometimes on Saturday evenings. I thought that I fancied playing a few old songs. And then I thought, I own a radio studio now. And then I thought, you're wrong, we own a radio studio now. It's our studio. And I thought, well, you have a studio, why not go and sit in this studio with the lovely speakers, the lovely monitors, and listen to your songs. And then I thought, it was getting better as it went on. Then I thought, well, why not just broadcast it? Why not? And I did that last night. It went down a treat, I'm glad to say. My musical taste wasn't derided and ridiculed and mocked from afar. It was great fun. I did record it. I might stick it on podcast a bit later on. There's no value in doing that, I don't think, anyway. But if one or two of you want to hear it, and a bit of banter that went on, I will put it on podcast, and you can do with it what you want. But I've a lot to do today outside of this programme, and uploading it to podcast is a bit of a pain in the arse. So we'll see, right? We'll see. Nearly 4 minutes past the hour. We're broadcasting live on davidicke.com. The Sunday papers that I'm going to have a look at are full of lies. Stories on davidicke.com, different take, the information the mainstream media doesn't want you to know. Go to davidicke.com. We're live on Fab Radio 2 as well, which is terrific here in Manchester. Although Fab isn't broadcasting live at the moment. I don't know if you know this, but there was a fire in Chinatown, in the Chinatown area of Manchester, which is where the Fab Radio operation is based. And tragically, two people were killed in that fire. And the building is very close to the Fab building, and nobody can get into their buildings at the moment. And that's not important, of course. The misfortunate people who lost their lives is important. But just to let you know, that's why Fab are not broadcasting live programmes. Except for me. They can't get into the building, you see. I'm broadcasting remotely. I'm tapping into Fab and their stream, and then it's going out to Fab's audience. That's why I'm live. So I'm the only game in town. on Fab at the moment. That's not good. Hopefully they'll get that sorted and they'll be back very soon. Alrighty. Good morning, Shona Dryden. Good morning, Natalie. Good morning, G. And good morning, Sean McDonald. Thanks for listening. Tweet at Richie Allen Show. Email richie@richieallen.co.uk. So as I said, the Sunday broadsheet tabloid newspapers in the UK are full of stories about Fidel Castro, who died, of course, this weekend. His brother, Raul Castro, announced this yesterday. The Sunday Times has a picture, an iconic picture of Fidel with the cigarillo in his mouth and smoke coming out and him looking very serious with his beard. Fidel Castro, scourge of the West, dies at 90. Sunday Times, of course, says in the subheading, the world is divided over revolutionary icon who became a murderous tyrant. More on whether or not he was a murderous tyrant in a minute. Also in the Sunday Times today, Theresa May admits that the challenge of Brexit is keeping her awake at night. Saucy minx. Is that all you've got keeping you awake at night? You're not. Life is not too exciting in the May household, even. More on Brexit in a minute, and we'll have a look at that in a minute and in more detail. So the Sunday Observer, again, full page picture, half page picture of Fidel Castro. And not so much of a headline, really, just 26 to 2016. The Observer says, grief and some celebration as Cuba's revolutionary icon dies. Havana mourns after brother Raul's late night announcement. Also a very important story in the Sunday Observer today about elderly care. Millions of people are at risk because elderly care is close to collapsing as council funding runs out. Hunger Games, society, anybody? This isn't the consequence of austerity. This isn't the consequence of living beyond our means. This isn't the consequence of bad management. It's meant to be. The old are useless eaters. The disabled are useless eaters. Let's get rid of them and the rest of us will have fun with the money we save. Did I mention on the show? Of course I mentioned. Last week and the week before, Richard Branson's company, Virgin Care. Do you believe that, dear? Do you believe that, do you? That Richard Branson gives a shit about the elderly? Well, he's got £700 million worth of contracts. You see, in order to privatise something, you must first of all destroy it, create the public outcry, then the public will be not so reluctant to see it privatised. That's what's going on here. And ultimately then, you see these panorama-type documentaries, and you see private companies running care for the elderly, and you see horrible, disgusting people who should never be allowed near anybody, let alone senior citizens. You see them beating them, abusing them, shouting at them, stealing their money. This is what you get when you privatise it. Mini rant over. Sunday Telegraph, very little about Fidel. Well, there is, it's on the front page, but the big story is May carries on Labour's business pay crackdown. This is a monumentally bullshit story. We're supposed to believe that Theresa May wants to attack the fact that in successful companies, in blue chip companies, the CEOs get paid 200 times the salary of the average employee. What a load of crap. No interest whatsoever does Theresa May. This is window dressing bollocks to deflect your attention away from other things. No interest, these people, in reducing the ridiculous salaries that CEOs take and, you know, in comparison with the employees. Not to mention when they decide to lay off employees, these companies. Oh, we need to get rid of 500 people because the shareholders only got £2 million each last year. Bollocks. Sunday Mirror, my hell in home of coach. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. A lot of footballers are coming out to say that they were abused sexually when they were younger. This is all based around Crewe Alexandra, but we're led to believe that footballers are going to come out and are going to mention other football clubs. It's a big, big, big story that has the whiff of Jimmy Savile about it. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. You know, there's a real concerted effort today by the tabloids and by the broadsheets to rewrite history about Fidel Castro, you know. This is what he want to do now. He's dead. Let's rewrite history. Let's destroy the narrative that he took on the biggest power in the world and held them off for 50 years. Let's destroy that. Let's say he was a tyrant and a murderer. And the story's amazing. Anybody who studied history, you know, the story's amazing. How he overthrew Batista, the US puppet, in 59. Amazing, really. Kicked out the mafia. Nationalised everything stolen by US whores in Havana and then sold to US corporations. Took it all back. Education was improved. He basically eliminated illiteracy where it was very high during the Batista years. We all know about Cuban healthcare available to everybody. Everything available to everybody at the point of entry. Always funded properly. The work he did on apartheid in South Africa. You know, but they're painting this picture today of this one-party communist state and that dissent was put down brutally and torture was rampant. Fidel was a bastard. Now, how much of the torture and that being true, it's very difficult to determine or to ascertain, because many of the stories claiming that Fidel was killing opponents of his communist government were coming from exiles in Miami. Many of these exiles in Miami were being paid by who? You guessed it, the CIA. Lies. Not saying the guy was an angel at all, but there's a lot more to it. And the idea that anybody who was speaking out against the government and the socialist rule there was murdered and tortured is bullshit and propagated by Western media, American media. Again, I'm not saying he was an angel at all, but it's going to be interesting to see the way they try to rewrite this guy's history, because they don't want it happening anywhere else. God forbid that we should all get together and turn on the corporations and the banks, you know. Yeah, anyway, that's Fidel Castro. Every single paper's got something in it today. Now, there's a story about footballers and sexual abuse. Crewe Alexandra, famous club in the northwest of England. Yeah, it is, isn't it, Crewe? They're going to hold an independent review into the way that they dealt with historical child sex abuse allegations. They announced this overnight. This comes as a fifth former player has made claims of sexual abuse against the ex-youth team coach Barry Bunnell. Now, Crewe said they were determined a thorough investigation took place at the very earliest opportunity. Bunnell is now 62. He's served 3 jail sentences for child sex offences, including one last year. In a statement, Crewe said it, and I quote, believes an independent review to be conducted via the appointment of external legal counsel is the correct way forward in the circumstances. Now, Andy Woodward came forward last week. Took a lot of courage, I would imagine, for Andy to do that. And it was his courage in coming forward that's led to the other players mentioned in the BBC report coming forward and telling their own story. This is Andy Woodward, former professional footballer, talking about what happened to him at Crewe Alexandra.
I was from the age of 11. I was at Stockport Boys and I was spotted by Barry Bunnell, and it was the same pattern as what you've seen in the papers, in that he asked me to go and play for Crewe, and within a few weeks it was, can he come and stay over? It will really help him. It'll develop him.
How did you feel when this was all happening?
Fear. I was scared, frightened, all sorts of emotions. I can't even put it into words what I was feeling. But the underlying thing was, is I knew that man had the key to my future. And that threat that he continually gave me was insignificant to actually what I actually wanted, and all I wanted was to walk out at, I don't know, Old Trafford or Cresty Road or wherever it was, just to be, say, I've become a professional footballer. And that's what every other victim has gone through. They needed that so much that this power and control took over everything. It's a horrific ordeal, and we've carried that since the age of 11 onwards. And to go through that, nobody could ever put it into words. And the only people that probably would know that are the people that are victims of that abuse, whether it's in football, sport, or any other walk of life, really.
It is Saville-esque, isn't it? When I say we are hearing, I'm hearing, and I know the folks at davidicke.com are hearing, that this is the tip of the iceberg, hence the Saville-esque comment. And you know about the Crewe Alexandra story and Barry Bunnell. Were there others besides Barry Bunnell in and around Crewe? When I say in and around Crewe, I don't mean necessarily implied by the football club. I was thinking, wouldn't it be appropriate now to get the Metropolitan Police's finest detectives and their best interrogators to sit down with Barry Bunnell? Because I'd love to know who Barry Bunnell knows. You know what I'm getting at, dear listener? Was Bunnell working with others? Was he supplying children for others? And this is why I say the story has a tip of the iceberg feel to it. Now, if Barry Bunnell was involved in a wider paedophile ring, and he might have been, and if he was supplying young boys, young talented footballers, for other people to molest and abuse. And he might not have been doing that. He might have been a lone operator. But if he was, you know, I'd be watching Barry Bunnell very carefully, make sure nothing happens to him in the short term. You know what I'm getting at? So that's a big story, that. And it broke late last week. The word we're getting is that over the coming weeks, a lot of former footballers, retired players, are going to share similar experiences to those shared by Paul Stewart and by Andy Woodward there. Now, in a related story, the Sunday Mail, as I mentioned earlier on, this is their headline today, front page. This is the headline. Sir Edward Heath's accuser is a satanic sex fantasist. Police warned by own expert that ritual abuse claims are false, including how the former PM went to candlelit forest for paedophile parties. That's the headline on the Sunday Mail. Will I read it again quickly? Very quickly. Sir Edward Heath's accuser is a satanic sex fantasist. Police warned by own expert that ritual abuse claims are false, including how the former PM went to candlelit forest for paedophile parties. So the text of the story reads as follows. A leading expert called by police to assess lurid claims of child abuse against Edward Heath dismissed them as fantasy in an official report. The Mail on Sunday can reveal. Criminologist Dr. Rachel Hoskins urged detectives not to be taken in by the wild allegations against the late former Prime Minister, and demanded MPs be alerted to her damning findings. But Wiltshire police are still pressing ahead with the investigation that has lasted more than a year, cost taxpayers £700,000, and tarnished Heath's reputation a decade after he died. The Mail goes on. We can also reveal today, one of Heath's accusers, a woman, has made astonishing claims that he was linked to a network of paedophiles who held satanic orgies and stabbed children in churches. One of the witnesses involved in the case is the man known as Nick, whose tales of a murderous VIP paedophile ring in Westminster were initially believed by Scotland Yard, but have now been demolished in an official review that accused police of making grave mistakes. The Mail goes on to say that they believe there are historic links between Nick and the woman who has accused Heath. Now, Dr. Rachel Hoskins told police that the claims are likely to be based on false memories, unearthed in therapy, and likened to now discredited claims of satanic abuse that made headlines in the 1980s. Now, Rachel Hoskins is quoted in the Sunday Mail today. She said, and I quote, the Heath inquiry rests, like the Westminster VIP inquiry, on overactive imagination. Wiltshire Police insisted evidence examined by Dr. Hoskins, however, was just a small part of their inquiry, known as Operation Conifer. And that's important here, you see. This Hoskins woman has come out saying that these are false memories unearthed in therapy, suggesting that therapists are being suggestive and are eliciting these false memories for people. She's saying that this is what this is all about. But to be fair to the police, they've said, no, the evidence examined by her is a very small part of our inquiry, known even as Operation Conifer. Now, she's gone even further, has Rachel Hoskins, and says that she's basically accused the police of lying. And she's saying that her evidence, her belief basically, is that it is a central plank of their investigation. Now, why don't the police in Wiltshire arrest Rachel Hoskins for attempting to pervert the course of justice? That's a dangerous thing for me to be suggesting, isn't it? Because we believe in free speech and we believe in everybody's right to having an opinion. But this Hoskins woman just won't shut the fuck up. It's all fantasy, says Hoskins. It's all fake memories unearthed in therapy. But the police are saying, no, it isn't. It isn't. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny basis of the overall evidence we have. What Nick has said and what this woman has said. But Hoskins won't let it go. So I'd be inviting Hoskins to come and see me if I was the detective heading up that inquiry. Come and have a chat with us, love. You're getting dangerously close to perverting the course of justice here. Am I out of order saying that? Am I out of line saying that? I don't know. Because you see, when you factor in people like Rachel Hoskins, whom might very well believe what it is she's saying, I think she probably does. And if she does, I can't have so much truck with her. If she believes what she's saying, fair enough. But she's wrong. The overwhelming evidence is that there is, and has been for a long time, a paedophile ring operating out of Westminster. The overwhelming evidence. She might believe that victims are being brought to a place where they are giving information about things that didn't really happen because of poor psychotherapy. Because of poorly qualified or poorly trained hypnotherapists and psychologists. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. Fair play to the police for coming out and saying, no, this is a small part of our inquiry, what Nick said and what this woman said. So there you go. But again, you know, I'm going to say it again. And I don't believe in a police state, of course. I don't believe in tyranny. But I would be asking, because she won't let it go, this Rachel Hoskins, if I was the detective in charge, I'd be saying, listen, we might need to have a conversation. Because there is a massive attempt to paint VIP child abuse and satanic abuse as fantasy. And it's led by LBC Radio. It's led by The Telegraph and it's led by The Mail. And it is sickening. And again, I say fair play to the Wiltshire Police for not backing down and for stating clearly that they will follow where the evidence leads them. Now, Michael Shrimpton is a former barrister and the author of the best-selling book Spy Hunter. He is a verifiable intelligence expert with ties to intelligence agencies around the world. I've spoken with Michael probably on about a half a dozen occasions on television and radio. This is me speaking with Michael Shrimpton in December 2014 about Edward Heath. Listen carefully. When did you know that Ted Heath was sexually molesting and murdering children? When did it come to your attention?
Well, firstly, as a barrister or about to be ex-barrister, I don't know. I'm actually still a barrister. As a barrister, I use words with advisedly, with care. Ted Heath, I've never suggested Heath himself murdered any of the boys that he abused. And he was abusing boys down to about the age of 14. Other people on the boat, on the crew, murdered the boys and threw them overboard, their bodies weighted down by chains.
Where, Michael? Where was this taking place?
This was taking place around in the waters around the Channel Islands. The boys were picked up from Hope de la Ragin nursing home, sorry, a children's home in Jersey, which itself was an old Abwehr facility. There's a strong connection between German intelligence and Hope de Garenne. It was used by German intelligence in World War II. Heath, who was working for the Germans, is taking boys on board Morning Cloud, particularly Morning Cloud 4. There were several Morning Clouds. They were brought to him by Jimmy Savile. Savile was running a paedophile ring with the protection of the Cabinet Office, partly because the Cabinet Secretary, John Hunt, was also a paedophile. Savile and other members of the ring were supplying boys to John Hunt, the Cabinet Secretary, and to Heath, and to other senior figures.
And you know, there's enough evidence, well, it's beyond enough, it's empirical evidence that Edward Heath was compromised by German intelligence for a number of reasons. The most pressing one at that particular time was for Heath to take Britain, the UK, into the European Union in very unfavourable terms for the UK at the time. I know from talking to Shrimpton over the years that he's been obsessed with German intelligence. The amazing thing about Shrimpton, when it comes to German intelligence and when it comes to spying in the post-World War II world, very few people as well-briefed and as well-read on that as Shrimpton, but he is definitely obsessed with German intelligence. But he's absolutely bang on the money. Otto Le Guerin, Savile, supplying boys for Heath. Boys were raped on the Morning Cloud, and not Heath personally, but those protecting Heath threw those boys overboard and killed them. This is a fact. And they cannot have this come out. This establishment cannot have this become common knowledge in British households up and down the country. Why? Well, the answer is obvious. Because however fat and lazy and spoon-fed people have become with reality TV, with their tablets, with their mobile phones, I believe that the knowledge that their prime ministers and chancellors and home secretaries were party to the rape, torture and murder of children is going to basically start a revolution in this country. I believe it. That's why they'll do anything to stop it coming out. I've had a tweet from Sniff who says, morning, finally I made it for a live show. There are two worlds for sure. Their world and ours. I choose ours, says Sniff. Thanks for that. Kim Erswell tweets, are pedos the glue that holds the British establishment together? I think so. Historic abuse? No, it's ongoing. Even at the BBC, says Kim. I would hope it's not still going on at the BBC, Kim, but I take your point. La Antenna tweets, the greatest violation of human rights in Cuba take place at Guantanamo Bay. It's a fantastic comment, that. La Antenna, you're absolutely right. Colm is in Dublin and says, I'm sure they are telling the truth. The footballers, that is. The neurologist on the show on Wednesday was brilliant. Happy Sunday, everybody, says Dovey. He's referring to Colm, that is, to Dr. Graham Downing, who was on the programme on Wednesday. Loads more tweets coming in. Hi to Biz, hi to Spirit Samba as well, who says the MSM never questions why it's okay to pay £43 billion in interest a year to private banks but can't find £3 billion for social care. Fantastic comment that is as well. 29 minutes past the hour, and you know, I'm going to leave the paedophilia thing for today anyway on this note. And you're tired of it, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's only 30 seconds out of your life. Don't forget Tim Fortescue, Conservative Chief Whip between 1970 and 1973, appointed by Edward Heath, close friend and confidant of Edward Heath. This is Fortescue talking to the BBC in 1997.
Anyone with any sense who was in trouble would come to the whips and tell them the truth and say, now, I'm in a jam, can you help? It might be debt, it might be scandal involving small boys, or any kind of scandal which a member seemed likely to be mixed up in. they'd come and ask if we could help. And if we could, we did. And we would do everything we can, because we would store up brownie points. If, I mean, that sounds a pretty nasty reason, but it's one of the reasons, is if we can get a chap out of trouble, then he'll do as we ask forever more.
It sounds like a pretty nasty reason. No, Tim, no, it sounds all right, you know. Sounds pretty normal. How you doing, Fred? Hi, Tim, I'm in a bit of trouble. What is it, Fred? What's going on? Do you owe some money? Are you seeing somebody on the side? Has the missus found out? No, I've been raping small boys, Tim. All right, have you? Who knows about it? Well, there's some detective knocking around asking questions. Listen, old boy, I'll make it go away. Remember, there's a vote in the Treasury next Wednesday. Just vote yes. Job done, old boy. Don't worry about it, old boy. How could you do business with a fucking child rapist? How could you do that? How? I often think about it. I lie awake nights thinking about it. How could you allow that? You know, what is money that important? Is power that important to you? We would make it go away to store up brownie points, you evil bastard. You're worse than the paedophile. I'm leaving that alone for now. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back in a minute with more, you know. Before I do, fantasy my arse to Rachel, whatever her name is, this doctor, Hoskins, is it? Is it Hoskins? Did I say her name earlier on? Hoskins, Rachel Hoskins. Fantasy my arse listening to Tim Fortescue. And don't forget, only last week, two separate survivor groups, survivors of abuse, told Alexis J, who's currently heading up the inquiry, until she resigns, that is. She won't be long for the inquiry. Two groups have said we have no confidence in the inquiry because it is being destroyed. She's the fourth head of the inquiry. High-profile lawyers have pissed off and quit, resigning at a rate of knots. The inquiry's a shambles, as it's meant to be. You don't think the establishment was really going to allow a serious inquiry, do you?
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk. Now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Welcome back to the program. It's exactly 26 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to go longer than an hour today, not much longer, but I'm behind already because of the last story there. A lot still coming in on that. Keep the tweets coming in at Richie Allen Show, Richie at RichieAllen.co.uk. Right, let's move on then. Let's talk about the European Union briefly. Maybe not so briefly. You might be aware that the Equality and Human Rights Commission has written to all political parties at Westminster. Why? because the Equality and Human Rights Commission has expressed concern about hate attacks, it says, have taken place since the UK voted to leave the European Union in June. Westminster party leaders should tone down campaigning that has polarised the country and legitimised hate, according to the Equality's watchdog. The Equality and Human Rights Commission calls for accurate information and respectful debate from politicians. The Home Office said extra money has been allocated to tackle hate crime. Now, the Commission's letter, which is co-signed by the Chairman David Isaac and the Chief Executive Rebecca Hilsenrath, said politicians had spoken about the need to heal the country and bring people together following the UK's EU referendum. But instead, it said, instead, there is growing concern that the divisions on a range of big questions are widening and exacerbating tensions in our society. They pointed the Equalities Commission today to the killing of Arkadiusz Jozwik. They pointed to racist, anti-Semitic and homophobic attacks on the streets and reports of hijabs being pulled off, all of which the Commission described as stains on our society. The letter comes after Thomas Mayer was jailed for life on Wednesday for the murder of Labour MP Joe Cox during the referendum campaign. So the Equality and Human Rights Commission has said that we have to tone down the polarised rhetoric. There's a lot of hate around. There's a lot of anti-Semitic attacks around. There's a lot of hijabs being pulled off of women. A lot of abuse being meted out in the wake of the EU referendum. Now, I know I'm talking to you, dear listener, and I know you know what's going on here. This is all about delaying Brexit. How do I leap to that conclusion? Well, the British media is engaged, as I said to you last week, in an all-out propaganda war against Britain leaving the European Union. And one of the things they've been doing is saying that those who voted to leave did so on racial grounds. Xenophobia. That's reason one. People voted to leave because they're just racist bastards. And everybody else was confused. The rest of us didn't know what we were voting for and didn't know that we were voting to leave the single market. These are two massive lies being told. Now, in recent history, and I am saying recent history, these are the biggest lies. In very recent history, these are the biggest lies perpetuated by this government and by the opposition, excuse me, and by the media. Now, I remember going to the polling booth in June on the 23rd, and the question on the ballot paper was very simple and very specific. Do you wish to remain a member of the European Union? There was a box for yes, there was a box for no. Do you wish to remain a member of the European Union? So I voted no. Now, we'll deal with the single market issue in a second. So what the Equalities Commission is doing is disgusting. Sneaky now, sneaky mind, but also very clever. Talk about all the hate attacks on minorities and blame it on the referendum. Now, most people are nice. Most people are. Regardless of which way they voted, most people fundamentally are nice. Folk are nice. And they will want to distance themselves from all of that, and they might even reverse their decision. Well, I'm no racist. I've nothing to do with that mob. That's how I read it. So digging up all of this racism bollocks. You know, the average man and woman who voted to leave because of reasons that they, whatever reasons they decided to leave, whether it's because they're worried about the NHS, whether it's because they're worried about their community, whether it's because they're worried about jobs, whatever. Now you have them thinking, Jesus, I'm a racist. I'm being called a racist for voting to leave. Now, as for the single market, pretty simple this really. People knew full well that leaving the European Union meant leaving all treaties and agreements and, of course, the single market. Didn't David Cameron say it time and time again in the run-up to the referendum that a vote to leave meant leaving the single market? We should have heard from the former Prime Minister there. Let's try that again. This is Cameron. This is one example of him before the referendum.
And what the British public would be The British public would be voting if we leave, would be to leave the EU and leave the single market.
We'd be out of the single market. That's the reality. Britain would be quitting the single market.
Simple as that. That was Cameron and George Osborne. Perfectly clear there, during the referendum on the EU membership, that a vote to leave the European Union means leaving the single market. Everybody said it. Everybody, including those voting to stay in. Those who were voting to stay in said it as a way of threatening people, as a way of warning people against it. We need to stay in because we can't afford to be outside the single market, don't you know? Liars. Liars. Now, Leanne Wood of Plaid Cymru, Welsh Party, was speaking to Andrew Neil on the BBC Daily Politics show this week. She's a Remainer. She wants another referendum like her pal Jimmy Crankey in Scotland. This is Leanne Wood talking to Andrew Neil, who comes very close to doing a half-decent job for the first time in a long time.
And we are saying that we need to be a member of the single market to protect the 200,000 jobs that are in Wales and reliant upon membership of that single market. And so there does need to be an alternative voice put in the National Assembly, because otherwise the opposition will just come from the right, and that'll be no good for Welsh people either.
Let me come on to what you've just said about the single market in a moment. Wales voted to leave the European Union. And everybody, the top people in the Remain campaign and the Leave campaign, made it clear that leaving the European Union meant leaving the single market in terms of membership of the single market. So why are you defying the will of the Welsh people?
Well, I don't recall the question about the single market being on the ballot paper. I don't recall the question about hard or soft Brexit or even immigration.
No, but the people on both sides, the leaders on both sides made it clear that a vote to leave was a vote to leave the single market. Are you disputing that?
Well, as I understood it, the vote was to leave the European Union, and we will leave the European Union.
Well, all right, then let me run you this.
The question is how and what arrangements
are
in place
afterwards. Well, let me run you this clip, then, of leaders of both Remain and Leave and what they said about the single market and about leaving the EU. Let's just listen to what they said.
The British public would be voting if we leave, would be to leave the EU and leave the single market.
Should we come out the single market?
I think that that is almost certainly would be the case, yes.
Do you want us to stay inside the single market, yes or no?
No, we should be outside the single market.
I had Michael Gove in that chair and I said, after Brexit, will we be in the European single market, yes or no? And he said, no.
And he was right.
So we won't be in
He's
the European
right. and
single
Michael,
market.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'd be out of the single market. That's the reality. Britain would be quitting the single market.
So there we have it. George Osborne, David Cameron, Andrea Leveson, Boris Johnson, Michael Gove on both sides of the argument. If you vote to leave, you vote to leave the single market. What bit don't you understand about that?
It's not that she doesn't understand it. Leanne Wood is a pathological Rothschild-owned lawyer. That's who these people are. Lawyers. They're lying. It was made very clear. Leave means leaving properly. If you leave the European Union, you leave the treaties. You leave the single market. But it's an all-out assault. There's no escape from the lies. Tony Blair joined John Major this week in suggesting that the path to a second referendum is clear. Tyrants.
Well, both Tony Blair and Sir John Major campaigned for Remain in the referendum, and they've both come out to make separate interventions, expressing concerns that Theresa May wants to take Britain out of the single market, what's called a hard Brexit, and people should have another say before that happened. Tony Blair said in an interview that he thought the whole process of leaving the EU could be stopped for people to look at the cost-benefit analysis of how it would play out. This is what the former Prime Minister said to the New Statesman magazine. When I say, well, let's just keep our options open, it's condemned as treason. Why wouldn't you keep your options open? Why wouldn't you say, we took this decision, we took it before we saw what its consequences are, now we see its consequences, we're not so sure. And he said that even those who voted to leave might change their minds in a second referendum if they felt that the economic costs didn't stack up. So John Major was speaking at a separate dinner in Westminster earlier this week, and he spoke of his concerns that the tyranny of the majority would set the terms for Brexit, and that the 48% of people who wanted to remain were having no say. He said it was up to Parliament to decide if we had a second referendum on the deal, but said he thought there was a perfectly credible case for it. Now, later today, the leaders of the devolved governments, Nicola Sturgeon in Scotland, Carwyn Jones in Wales and Arlene Foster in Northern Ireland, will be meeting in Cardiff with the Irish Prime Minister Enda Kenny, and it's expected they're all going to be calling for unfettered access to the single market for the UK after we leave the European Union.
Separate interventions. There's nothing separate about Blair and Major. See what they're doing? You heard Enda Kenny mentioned there. He's the gormless, feckless, muppet, Irish Taoiseach. Cretin. What a Rothschild whore Enda Kenny is. He's overseen as Irish Prime Minister the biggest ever fire sale of state assets owned by the Irish people to the European Central Bank and the IMF to pay a debt that the Irish people don't owe. And you see, this is what it's all about. This is why these people failed to sway the British electorate with the murder and the hysteria around the murder of Joe Cox. They failed. The British people voted leave anyway. Now they will stop it. And they will. Well, traitor Enda Kenny, who should be exiled from Ireland along with every other politician who's ever been part of our many coalition governments, Kenny has been telling British audiences through Sky and the Beeb that Brexit might take a long time. Are you sick of these criminals yet?
I think there's an inevitability about this, to be honest with you. In 50 years, nobody has left the European Union. This is the first time that it's that a country has said, under the treaties, we wish to leave. That means that that it's more detailed and unforeseen issues than people might have imagined. So I would expect to see the divorce, as it's called, take place, but that there be a transition period and then a new relationship founded between the UK and the European Union. And that transition period might actually take longer than people expect. I think it would be impossible to do all of the negotiations inside the contemplated two-year period. That's why I think there is a growing feeling in Europe that there should be a transition period, and that transition period might well be longer than those 2 years. I think it will be.
Yeah, handy that. And then at some stage, somebody raises the spectre of, you know what, it's been a long time, eh? A lot of people have come of age in terms of their right to vote. A lot of those young people who are complaining that their silly old grannies and granddads wanted to leave. So we better have another referendum, and then they'll fix it, regardless of what the result might be. Anne Barnes tweets, I'm sick and tired of being told why I voted out. I am not stupid nor racist, and I wasn't swayed by a few words on a bus. WTF, exclaims Anne. Yeah. We've demonstrated there, Anne, that they're... Not that we need to demonstrate that they're lying, but it's never been more clear that they are lying. There was no ambiguity pre-referendum about what leaving meant. It was absolutely cast in stone. If you leave, you leave. If you leave, you leave. If you leave, you're gone. No single market. The UK is on its own. Feathers R Us tweets, Westminster sounds better to me, Richie. Mark Richards tweets, put them in with a load of hungry wolves and let them eat them pedos alive. Yeah. Lock them up in a room without windows for the rest of their miserable lives. That'd be more like it. Kim says, more and more I see civil war coming to our shores. Stevie tweets, the Club of Rome Bilderberger Group has broken the world into 10 economic regions, the EU being one of them, the 10 horns of the new world order, says Stevie G on Twitter there, at Richie Allen Show, richie@richieallen.co.uk. And Spirit Samba tweets, we knew this was coming. They will do to us what they did to the Irish people with the Lisbon Treaty. They didn't even wait long with us. With us, it was the case of, it was only a year And they came back and said, that question we asked you last year, give us a different answer. And they would have kept coming back to the Irish people. There's no doubt about that. 11 minutes to the top of the hour. Very quick break. When I come back, a couple of quick stories and more of your comments back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Welcome back. Right, Republican President-elect Donald Trump has described an impending recount of votes in Wisconsin as a scam. It's a scam. Trump narrowly won Wisconsin. He said the results should be respected instead of being challenged or abused. Green Party candidate Jill Stein had initiated the recount. She also wants recounts in Michigan, Pennsylvania, as well, citing statistical anomalies. Hillary Clinton's campaign has said it would participate in Wisconsin's recount. The results would need to be overturned in all three of those states to alter the outcome of the presidential election. Now, Trump has said it's a scam and that Jill Stein is scamming people. She spoke to CNN to respond to that comment by Trump, to that accusation, that it is a scam. This is Jill Stein.
Well, you know, I'm really glad he's talking about it, and I feel honored that he's blaming the recount effort on me. I think this is clearly a grassroots, very people-powered campaign, powered by over 110,000 donors, contributing on average $45. And for his information, this is actually all going into a dedicated and segregated account so that it can only be spent on the recount campaign. So, you know, he may be creating his own facts here, as he's mm-hmm. been known to do sometimes in the past. And I think, you know, he himself said that it was a rigged election, unless he won it. But I think that sort of, shall we say, not exactly compelling thinking is not particularly persuasive to the American people. This is an election, you know, a very bitter and divisive election. The American people are looking for a positive way forward that will protect our right to vote, not only against Republicans, but against Democrats. And as we know, there are concerns about three states in particular as examples of potential hacking, but there was likewise in the Democratic primary. And I myself was very disappointed when Bernie Sanders did not mount a challenge. The point to drive home here is that having a secure elections process benefits us all.
I'd imagine at this stage, InfoWars and the rest of the Trump worshippers are loving this. They're probably orgasmic. The globalists and the goblins are trying to bring down their savior. They're saying, some of the US mainstream media are saying that Russia hacked the states for Donald Trump. But this is absolute bollocks. It's not going to affect the result at all. Trump will take the Oval Office on the 14th or the 20th even of January. Is it the 20th, is it? The truth is more likely, I think, and I always say I think or I suspect because I don't know. My guess is as good as yours. And like you, my guess is average out, about the same as yours average out. But I reckon the Rothschild-Rockefeller-Warburg cartel changed their minds on Hillary at the 11th hour and threw it to Trump. So if there's any rigging going on in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, it's probably because of that. It certainly has, you know, it's got nothing to do with Russia. But I'm sure the, you know, so-called pretend independent media in the United States will love all of this talk of a recount, and they'll be screaming and crying for the next few days about how the people are being scammed, their hero, Donald Trump, is under threat from the globalists and the goblins. Goblins. Now buy some of my super male vitality pills. So RT has a great show called The Resident. Brilliant show. We mention it from time to time. This week they have a brilliant segment with a very good example of why you should never, ever, ever believe the corporate media. That's not to say that it lies all the time. It doesn't. Nobody lies all of the time. But that you should take everything you hear from the mainstream media, particularly with a large pinch of salt. This is RT's The Resident. Should be, anyway. Here we go.
Right now, everybody's thinking about the news and the truth all of a sudden. They're starting to wonder, maybe the news isn't always telling the truth. Maybe the news is reporting some things in a way that fits their agenda so that people will think what they want them to think. Which is great, I think, because people should realize just how biased all of the media really is. Here's a great example of that. Slate Magazine is a media outlet that covers politics here in the U.S., among other things. It was originally made by Microsoft as a part of MSN. Then it was bought by the Washington Post. All of those are left-leaning entities. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying it is. And all you have to do to prove that is to compare a few of the headlines that they've written recently. The first one is a headline from November 12, 2012, right after Obama won the presidential election. Now, Obama is a Democrat, so left-leaning Slate was happy about his win. They thought the election went just fine in 2012, since their team won. They were happy with turnout and the Electoral College, the whole system. So the headline they wrote then was, "In defense of the Electoral College, five reasons to keep our despised method of choosing the president." The article was all about why we must have the Electoral College, and it did a pretty good job of laying out its importance. Cut to now, after Donald Trump just won. Clearly, Trump's win was a huge win for Republicans, so left-leaning Slate was not happy this time around. So, can you guess as to what their headline about the Electoral College was just now? Ready for it? The Electoral College is an instrument of white supremacy and sexism. Wow! 4 years ago, Slate defended the Electoral College, and now not only is it an instrument of white supremacy, it's also an instrument of sexism. It's a double whammy of the worst, scariest, meanest things ever! This is how this outlet is choosing to freak out its readers. That's quite a different stance from 4 years ago, don't you think? I sure think so, which is why I think it's a perfect example of what everyone should be looking out for now that everyone's thinking all about what is news and what is truth. If you're really interested in truth, don't just look at one biased side of the story or another, because the truth is always somewhere in between.
Yeah, somewhere in between. I go a little bit further than that. That was RT's The Resident from RT America. Thank you for letting me have your clips, RT. I appreciate it. It's pretty much 60 seconds to the top of the hour. Thank you for listening to Sunday View. It's been a decent, been a very quick hour. Some interesting stuff there. Do join us tomorrow, Monday at 8 p.m. GMT for the first of the week's Richie Allen shows in association with davidicke.com. And I'm going to mention again, I need your constant support, folks. Without it, we can't run the program. So please go to paypal.me/Richie Allen. That's paypal.me/Richie Allen. There's also bank details on richieallen.co.uk. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'm going to have a pint in my local this afternoon with my mate Ian. Maybe watch a bit of footy. That's after a long walk with the mad and the marvellous Jazz. Look after yourselves and one another. I'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. as I said. Until then, bye for now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.